503-733-2970. You know, there's goddamn allergies in this room. And it's hot.
Stop complaining. It's better than freezing.
I'm not cold, though. I don't ever get cold in this room. It's you who gets cold, little
Missy. And Tim. Tim gets cold, too.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think it's because you're underneath the vent. That's the thing, and I'm not.
No, I'm not underneath the vent. I'm underneath the light.
I'm just saying, it's hot. So damn hot. It's 503-733-2.
It probably doesn't help that you ingest, like, 20 hot cups of coffee.
You know, why don't you just get off my back? Huh? Yeah.
Ooh, you told me.
It's 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Let's welcome now from the South, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
I'm great, gang.
You're what?
How are you?
Oh, yeah. I think you said you were breaking.
I think you said I'm great, gang.
Great gang. Oh, I had no idea what you said there for a second. All right. Oh, man. Let me ask you this question. This, and I didn't even really know that you were talking about this today. This is actually our good friend Richard at CNN, the booking, kind of told us about this. Because, long story short, my wife does this thing occasionally for Christmas where she will book us a Christmas, sort of like a small vacation somewhere, but I don't ever know where it is. I don't find out where it is until we get to the airport. And so a couple years ago, you know, she's like, pack your bag. And I'm like, well, where am I packing? She's like, just bring a little bit of everything, you know, and you'll find out. And we get to the airport and I find out that she's booked us a trip to San Francisco, blah, blah, blah. So she's doing that thing again this year where she's going to book sort of a mystery vacation somewhere over Christmas for us. But I know that one of the places she is considering is, wait for it, New Orleans. But see, here's the thing. Look, I want to help contribute to this nation's economic upswing as much as anybody. Rick Emerson likes to be part of the solution, not just part of the problem. I like to give, Ed McCarthy. But it does seem like it might be a little too soon to be vacationing in New Orleans at this point. How say you?
Well, I don't know. I've been down there a couple of times, and maybe I've been lucky. I don't know. But, you know, the crime rate has just really skyrocketed. It was bad before Katrina. And then it kind of leveled out a little bit after things got so bad down there. Of course, the crime was real bad right after Katrina during all the rescues and everything. So they kind of got that under control because they called in, the troops. And now the National Guard is down there. But they have a new thing now where they're trying to, the ATF got in with them, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. They've added that to their title.
That's good. That's a good sign. Fantastic.
They're trying to get people to snitch on people that have guns and criminals and say, hey, this guy's no good. He's got guns and he's trouble.
So when you say that the crime rate in New Orleans has skyrocketed, define skyrocketed. I mean, how much? Are we talking 100%?
Well, I can't give you figures, but I can tell you right now that a lot of these guys that were out of there came back in and brought some of their buddies from Houston or other places where they've moved, and some of the other guys come in, they befriended the guys from New Orleans, and they go, well, okay, let's go in there, and then they want to get a little bit of the action for some of the drug money. So, you know, a lot of that's going on down there right now.
And I mean, and this is one of the things everybody talks about in New Orleans is the French Quarter and so forth. But correct me if I'm wrong, the whole chunks of the French Quarter just gone or were destroyed, right?
No, the French Quarter.
Oh, it was unharmed.
No, that was on higher ground. So that the French Quarter is pretty good. That's doing fine. And usually that's the tourist spot where they kind of keep the bad guys away as much as they can. And, you know, you've always got to watch yourself, but, you know, you feel pretty safe down there. In some of these other areas, some of these other neighborhoods, you know, where they're starting to go back in and, you know, they're bringing some of their crime buddies in and things have gotten bad. It got so bad that they decided that they were going to bring the National Guard in. Now, the National Guard had a little incident last night where they shot a guy. Guy's going to survive and all, but he didn't have a gun, apparently. He had a cell phone, but they thought he had a gun.
Yeah,
he didn't do what he was supposed to do, like show your hands.
maybe I'll wait a year or two. Maybe I'll put the all. We'll take that off the list until I don't know, 2009 or so.
They're really working hard trying to get things squared away. And you know, the cops were, most of them, 50% of the police force was gone, and now they're starting to come back.
Yeah, I mean, is it cheap to go there? I mean, does it cost a lot less?
Yeah, they have not lowered any prices down there. That's what I was kind of surprised. Okay. Some of the restaurants, and of course the restaurants are only about 25% of the 100% capacity that they had.
All right, decision made. Yeah, I am. Because here's the thing: I'm not a guy who really wants to go to a thug infested area at this point, especially if it's a place where they're having to call out the National Guard and said guard is killing people. B, I'm really cheap. So you put those things together, that's a place I'm going to pass on for the next little while, I guess. So
yeah,
there you
maybe
go.
A year. Maybe
we'll,
a year.
We'll come to Atlanta instead.
That's good. Then you're really fighting crime. I'll take you to some of the bad places. How's that?
Right, we should just do a whole tour. Just do a whole tour of places where we'll probably be killed. Fantastic. All right, my friend, CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Thank you, brother.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. CNN Radio correspondent. Okay, I suspected as much. All right, there you go. We're just going to take that off the list. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, I actually used the phrase, quote, sex with Calista Flockhart would be like making love to a bag of antlers, end quote, in the company of my wife and several of her friends. How the conversation steered itself to that topic, I'll never remember. But I will remember the horrified looks on my wife's friends' faces. I think I may have been drunk. Yes, I suspect so. Let's see. Poultry. Yes, squab is poultry. Let's see. What else do we have here? Squab. Squab. Let's see. Zachary says, dude, Rick, is Bridget Nielsen on the list? No, she's not. Bridget Nielsen's not on the list, but that's only because nobody remembers who she is. The last thing she did, wasn't she the Flav thing? What was the name of that show? Flavor of Love?
No, that's a different
Odd
one.
Odd Couple or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah, I can't remember the show where they...
Opposites Attract, some crap like that. Because they were married. Were they married or were they just dating?
They were just dating.
All right.
No, because then she married some other guy.
Yeah.
And he's still doing his little Flavor of Love thing.
Yeah, I got nothing. Let's see. Faith says, I'll give you a free Yakima beanie to wear during your period of recovery.
Yeah.
Just let me know that you're thank you. Maybe Delane can send me something from Wenatchee. Rick, about those Scarlett Johansson. Oh, yeah, we'll take these phone calls here in a second. People have been stacked up here. Man, have you seen those Scarlett Johansson photos? Her and Dita Von Fries?
The black and white ones?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. I mean, we have Seamus here. He says, I've never found Dita Von Trees to be all that stunningly hot, at least nowhere as hot as Scarlett Johansson. You are right. She is so mesmerizing, you can't even focus on the movies she's in, like Match Point. Aaron sent me these photos last night, which I'd already seen, but I hadn't bothered to bookmark or download or whatever. And thank God Aaron did it for me. He sent me along this email about, if you haven't seen them, they're at rickemerson.com, and they're probably not safe for work. Well, they're not, because I think you can see a nipple at one point. So rickemerson.com, I've posted a couple of the photos, but it's Dita Von Trees, who is Marilyn Manson's wife or girlfriend or whatever, and Scarlett Johansson. And, I mean, here's the thing about Scarlett Johansson is, look, I understand that you don't want to be stereotyped and you don't want to be labeled, and she doesn't want to be judged by just being like a big rack or whatever. But on the other hand, I mean, I hate to say use phrases like she's asking for it, but I mean, goddamn, she doesn't own anything that doesn't have a plunging neckline, apparently. Wear a turtleneck. It's not like it's really when you're going to be on the cover of Esquire, it's not like they're sneaking up on you and taking that photograph. I haven't even seen the cover of that Esquire, the sexiest woman alive. It's where she's wearing like this really, really low cut Marilyn and like bending over at the waist forward. It's all spilling out. I mean, if you really don't want to be, if you don't want to be judged by that, you ought to just cover up a little bit or something. And it does not help when she takes a whole series of photographs, which I'm all for, by the way. She takes a whole series of photographs of Dita Von Trees, one of which is where Scarlett Johansson is dressed, not dressed as a man as such, but is wearing a very man-like outfit. She's wearing, like, pants and, like, a button-up shirt. Dita Von Trees is on all fours, and Scarlett Johansson is standing with a boot in the middle of her back and a leash around her neck. Which is, I mean, I don't even think it's... I mean, I suppose it is sexual in a way, but you can't really see anything. It's just that she's got a woman on a leash. So you can go to rickemerson.com, see a couple of those, and I think the rest might be posted on Aaron's site. But I'm not entirely sure about that. Let's see. Rick, is Estelle Getty on the list? That's very amusing. It's 503-733-2970. I'm just going to go through these. We've got people on hold here. I thought that this... I really thought this would be done like an hour and a half ago. It's become one of those things we're sort of weaving through the whole show, not unlike the Sarah Feeling Young thing yesterday. We got a pair of passes to see the OMSI Star Wars exhibit starting October 21st. It comes with a Star Wars Episode 6 Return of the Jedi DVD. If you can guess who is number 6 on our list of the top 10 celebrities who should never have a Hollywood love scene. We'll just do these in the order they came in. Nick, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, what's going on, man?
What's up, brother man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm rolling today.
Thank you. How can I help you, my friend?
Hey, I was thinking, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Joan Cusack was anywhere on that
list. Why would you say that?
Why would I say that? I don't know, the 6-foot-long bony fingers, the mouth full of saliva every time she talks, the whole bag of antlers thing going on.
Okay, I disagree on the bag of antlers thing. Joan Cusack is fine. There's nothing wrong with Joan Cusack's body. Am I right, Sarah?
Bite your tongue.
She's... Okay. I mean, I don't know.
Joan Cusack is... I think, sir, Nick, I believe you may be in the minority there.
Oh.
No.
Listen to the scoffing.
Rick just kind of likes the girls who look like they might be crazy.
She does seem like she might be crazy.
Does.
And I kind of... Here's the thing. And, you know, here's the, when... I mean, I've always found Joan Cusack to be very...
Do you find her the hottest in Toys?
No.
Okay.
No, hell no.
I thought that was what you were going to say.
No, that's a terrible movie. That's a movie I've tried to block out.
I loved that
Toys.
Movie.
Oh, are you kidding
me? It was filmed in the Palouse.
With LL Cool J?
Yes. So, and Robin Williams. It's ridiculously bad. I loved it.
Horrible.
I believe that, yes. Thank you, sir. On that, we can agree. However, we may part ways on Joan Cusack, and I'll get back to that in a second. For the longest time, Toys was my benchmark for bad major motion picture. And I don't mean bad like I enjoyed it. I mean just terrible, like I was sitting there wishing I was dead the whole time.
I thought it was a pretty movie. I liked watching the rolling green hills and... never mind.
Let the pretty colors.
I did. It was filmed right outside of where I went to college, so it was...
Well, okay. Well, I can see this. So maybe you have... There's a sentimental attachment to it. It was a terrible film in my... But anyway, no. The sexiest I ever found Joan Cusack was when she was in Gross Point Blank. I don't know, because there was like a weird kind of creepy, like, incest vibe there. And so it makes you think that she might be, again, a little crazy.
I can see how you'd like
it. It does indicate that she might be a little nutty. There was like a weird sort of overt creepiness to that I found kind of hot.
Oh, yeah, let's pinpoint that from, you thought that she was hot because she was crazy, not because you like incest.
Well, not because I like incest, but I'm saying it's sort of like a weird, very edgy kind of film role. And I find that kind of sexy that she would take a role because admit it is sort of weird that it's her and her brother and the characters. I mean, unless I saw a different movie than everybody else did, there was like a weird, like erotic tension between the two characters.
Oh, they definitely had tension going on.
That's what I'm saying. See, he saw it too.
Yeah.
Wow, I've seen that movie a ton of times. I've never noticed that.
I totally see that there was, and she called him sir, but there was this weird kind of unstated romantic thing between them, and yet they're brother and sister, and so you know that at some point they had to sit down and discuss that before they took those movie roles. And so I think it's kind of cool that she would take a role that is so weird. It's like Maggie Gyllenhaal in Secretary, which is not a movie that I found all that great. But Maggie Gyllenhaal is hotter to me because she took a role. You've seen Secretary, right?
Yes.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is hot. I mean, she's hot anyway. But she's hotter to me because she took a role in which she gets, like, spanked a lot and has to walk around carrying water on her knees for a guy. I mean, there's just something a little crazy about a girl like that, and crazy is hot.
Crazy equals hot. Can I throw something else out there real quick?
Yes, you can, sir.
For Sarah not feeling so old, do you remember The Noid?
No.
Do you know to avoid The Noid, sir?
Avoid The Noid?
Bonus. I don't think so.
I don't necessarily remember it either because I'm only 24, so Sarah, you're so much older than me and remain so forever.
You're bluffing.
No, really. I'm 24 years old. My brother actually told me to throw that out there because I actually get a chance to listen to you guys all day long and actually call in and whatnot.
But you don't know. Do you yourself know what The Noid is?
No, I don't actually. I was over at a friend's house the other week. We were playing I Love the 80s or whatever, and that came up.
So
I know. I figured I'd talk
just
out there.
Okay, in case you end up on 80s Jeopardy, here's what it is. The Noid was a masked character created by Will Vinton Studios for Domino's Pizza. And The Noid, I believe, now I might be wrong about this, but he was a Will Vinton character created for Domino's Pizza, and I believe The Noid was a character who gave you, like, soggy, substandard pizza. And so to avoid The Noid, one ordered from... Don't look at me. I didn't write the ad campaign. Yeah. But one ordered from Domino's to avoid The Noid. He was sort of like the Hamburglar of the Domino's pizza world, sir.
I could see how that ad campaign would work out.
Yeah, Scotty is noting that he was a bandit. All right. He was a pizza bandit ripoff artist, says Scotty J. All right. Thank you, Nick.
Hey, I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you go. You know, and Joan Cusack, I used to be able to do, I wonder if I could do her voice now. I'm trying to think of a line from a movie that she says. What does she say? Give me a Joan Cusack movie line. Do you know one?
Not off the top of my head.
Because she kind of has that voice where she talks like this. And, I can't, because she sort of sounds like, she sort of sounds like Stan Marsh's sister. Listen up, turds. You know, so, I'm going to be listening to my Britney Spears records.
Is that your impersonation?
That's the, well, I need a Joan Cusack line.
Do something from Say Anything. Like when her and John Cusack are doing with the kid.
There's no. No, I just want to do everything like what's her name? Shelley Marsh. She kind of does that there. There's no food in your food. And then it has like a lot of that. It's a lot of. Why can't you be here? No, I can't. No, I'm just totally in South Park mode. She does sound like she has not overly large teeth, Joan Cusack, but a few too many teeth. You know, she has that Michael Reagan, Alfred Hitchcock thing. He is right about the mouthful of saliva. Don't knock the mouthful of saliva, my friend. Yeah. Okay, are we breaking now?
We definitely could.
All right. Hey, we'll come back. We'll get Beth, Dennis, Jesse, Tori, etc. It's 503-733-2970. And she dressed like a Sergeant Pepper character all through Gross Point Blank, which I found kind of cute, too. All right, 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program right here on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Don't do that. Rick, stop.
Sorry. I'll stop.
Do you know how gross and wrong that sounds?
No. Oh, and I'm trying to find the, Wait, hold on. All right. 50, that's totally a John and Marsha. I gotta bring John and Marsha in. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll get some more of these calls here in just a second. By the way, I was just talking to the geeks across the hall, and I walked in and took the definitive word from them about Joan Cusack. And I said, Joan Cusack, yes or no? And Ryan had the final definitive answer about whether a girl is hot or not. He said, if you ever look for topless photos of her on the internet. And I had to admit that I had not looked for topless photos of Joan Cusack, although part of me knows it's because they just don't exist. I just know that they're not out there. I can sense it. Oh, see, I can sense that they're not out there. And not real ones, anyway. You're not looking for topless photos of Joan Cusack, are you? Really? See, you can do that. I can't. See, if I do that, then it's like a visit to the HR office. If you do it, it's show prep. You can get away with a whole lot of things. You could just claim that there's a show prep there. And so I guess if you haven't tried to look up her bosoms on the... Really? Is that her?
No, I don't...
Damn you! Get my hopes up. All right, we'll take more of these calls. We'll do the top five here in just a skosh, as our friends from Japan might say. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth... It's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The U.S. Army recruited more than 2,600 soldiers under a new lower aptitude test this year. helping the service beat its goal of 80,000 recruits. Now, according to statistics, 3.8% of first-timers went below the certain aptitude levels. In previous years, the Army allowed only 2% of these recruits to fail, but last year... They let you in if you failed 4%.
I don't mean to, and I really honestly don't mean to sound like I'm disparaging our fine men and women in uniform, but I really am curious, and I mean this sincerely. I don't mean this is some sort of a backhanded, insult. I really am curious as to how smart you have to be to get into the military. And I'm not talking about getting into the military for some, like, weird radar mathematics polygon quadratic quantum, math program. I mean, just to, like, get into the service to be a grunt. I wonder, do you even have to have a high school diploma?
You do have to have a high school diploma.
Can you finish, can you get your diploma while you're in the service?
No.
So you do have to have a diploma or a GE, an equivalent. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have a high school diploma, because there's no test you have to take, is there?
Well, yes, there is.
But, I mean, is there like a, I wish to be in the service, and then they give you like a, Johnny has five apples.
Yeah, something like that. You do have to do something like that.
Interesting. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's see here. The Army said the recruits with low scores had received high school diplomas. In a written statement, good test scores do not necessarily make quality soldiers. Test-taking ability, the Army says, has really nothing to do with loyalty, duty, honor, integrity, or courage.
Or godliness or cleanliness.
Tests do not tell you the answer to the most critical question for the Army. How you doing combat?
Is what I'm doing good for the company?
That's that.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
An elderly couple has been robbed of their life savings. They're from Kalama, allegedly at the hands of their adult son. Albert Sega, who's 82, and his wife,
Sega,
have advanced stages of Alzheimer's disease, let their son, who's 51, stay in their home. Sega estimates that more than $500,000 is being drained from his bank account, allegedly to feed a methamphetamine habit. A man wanted for stealing a backhoe to trash his girlfriend's car has apparently owned up to the crime. The police department said it was a lover's quarrel that got messy very quickly. Police said the man stole a backhoe from a demolition site, drove it to where his girlfriend's car was parked. He used the piece of heavy equipment to put the girlfriend's car onto its roof. The roof and windshield of the car were crumbled and the rear bumper smashed. No estimate of damage. Investigators haven't released the name of the man and his girlfriend. He came forward, though, to confess to his crime.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? That's badass.
Stealing a backhoe is also a crime.
Oh, whatever. You know, it's not really a crime. And they leave the keys in those things half the time anyway. I'm just impressed that he learned how to operate it. Backhoes are not I don't know anything about this, but backhoes are not easy to operate.
That's a lot of maneuvering, like flipping it over and then squishing it.
Seriously, I would gladly do the time if I was able to use a backhoe to avenge myself on an enemy. Rick. During my music career, I had to have a day job. You might want to suggest this to Scotty J. I worked at Domino's Pizza for 15 years. Oh, sad. The Noid was the most successful ad campaign Domino's ever had. However, they were too cheap to purchase the licensing from Will Vinton Studios. They came up with the excuse that the Noid is a negative stereotype that Domino's should not be associated with, blah, 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 which is why you never see the Noid anymore. For the record, the Noid worked to destroy your pizza order if you called anyone but Domino's. I thought I would share this nugget of completely and totally useless information with you. P.S. Best show ever. That's Steve in Canby. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Mel Gibson speaking up for the first time about his anti-Semitic comments he made to police when they booked him for drunk driving last summer. He sat down with Diane Sawyer, ABC. This interview will be on Thursday. Good Morning America. Sawyer asked Gibson what caused the comments on his night of arrest. Me, I was just the stupid rambling of a drunkard, you know. What I need to do is to heal myself and be assured and ally the fears of others and to heal them. This is a long sentence. If they have any heart wounds from something I may have said.
This makes no sense at all.
This is the last thing I wanted to do. This is the last kind of monster I wanted to tame.
Didn't we hear yesterday that he was out boozing it up with some blonde chick?
Yeah,
in Texas.
Yeah, in Texas. I thought he was in rehab.
He finished.
Okay. He was, because it happened a while ago now.
I'm so confused about all this. Okay.
There's a correspondence course.
And he's rehab over the phone. Who's that? Sarah?
You focus. It's Eva Longoria.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, she looks attractive there. I don't normally find her all that hot. You know what it is? It's because if you kind of squint, she looks like Jessica Alba.
It's because she's, like, almost naked.
Well, that's... Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
That helps. Here's the great thing about this show that you probably don't know. The fun fact about the Rick Emerson program is that at any time you come in the studio, there's about an 80% chance that there is a woman in some advanced state of undress on Sarah's computer screen, which is great. Now, of course, the reverse of that is that Sarah surfs through all these sites looking for the exceptions. She looks at the photos where the woman is nude, but there's like a large tick on her stomach or something, or she's got a scar across her upper face. But it doesn't matter. To get to those photos, she has to sift through many, many, many pages worth of women in bikinis, such as that one right there. I thought, let's go through a list, okay? So Mel Gibson in rehab but out and now drinking with a woman in Texas. Robin Williams, rehab?
Yes, he's out.
Because he's got that movie coming out.
Yeah, he was in rehab, but now he's out.
Bruce Willis, we heard he was in rehab, but we never had that confirmed. By the way, and then we'll do another news story here, and then we'll do the top five.
I did read a recent angry story about him, so I think he's out.
Who, Bruce Willis?
Because he was saying he was going to kick anybody's ass who makes fun of him for being bald. Like, he just...
Who would make fun of Bruce Willis for being bald?
I don't know.
He's the coolest guy.
Because he's doing another... Didn't we talk about this?
Die Hard 4. We didn't talk about this on the air. I've never heard the story.
Oh, and I guess he said that, yeah, because he wants his character to age along, you know, age along with him, so he's going to be bald and he's going to kick anyone's ass who makes fun of him.
Well, fair enough. I mean, A, they shouldn't be making a Die Hard 4. B, if they do, that's cool that John McClane, Mr. McClane will age gracefully. C, he's one of those guys that can, what?
I think this went from like 1 to C.
Q, Z, things is... No, he's one of those guys that can pull the... Because he's not bald, right? He just does the shaved very close, the trimmed very close.
I'm pretty sure there's not a lot of hair under
but
that.
But he makes it work, though. That's a guy who makes it work. Would you not agree? I mean, Bruce Willis, as a younger man with a lot of hair, he was a very good-looking man. He's an attractive man in a sort of rugged, kind of macho kind of way. I think he totally works. Every guy I know feels the same. The guys I know feel that Bruce Willis... Scotty J., let me ask you this. Does Bruce Willis make it work with the no hair and the shape? Yeah, see, yes.
I don't think so. Jean-Luc Picard does.
Well, okay, but then there's two different, different types of...
No, I can...
All right, well, let me just read this, though. Speaking of movies and rehab and the whatever, this has nothing to do with rehab. But you know one of the advantages of a film opening week at the box office? Suddenly, all the stars become available to you for interviews. Guess who we got a fax from today? An email. Guess who they're trying to pitch to us? It's a live interview on the show.
Jessica Simpson?
Close.
Dane Cook?
Yes. Yes,
really?
Indeed. Would you be interested?
I was cycling through. I'm like, what movies probably won't be very good?
It's funny how we never got this last week when the movie was getting ready to open. They never asked us. They never offered Dane Cook to us. They never said we asked if we'd like to interview him. So the movie opens at number 4, gets its teeth kicked in by everything above it, gets it by a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Do you know anybody who's seen that? I want to know if it's actually
Employee
decent.
Of the Month? Of course it's not decent. What are you, high?
Maybe. Well, not maybe high, but I mean, maybe someone will think it's funny.
Even if he's funny, which I strongly, and you know my feelings on Dane Cook. It's not that he's not funny, it's just that I find him bland. The presence of Jessica Simpson, has she ever been in a good movie? Discuss.
Hasn't she only done the one?
No, she's done Dukes of Hazzard. Didn't she do, God, what was that other movie? I'm thinking of Just Married. I'm thinking, what's her name? From King of the Hill, Brittany Murphy. So is this the only movie, the second thing she's done?
To my knowledge, I think.
Well, you know that Jessica Simpson's not going to be in a good movie anyway, though. It seems like her father chooses poorly. Hello, we're working on setting up interviews with Dane Cook on behalf of his new film, Employee of the Month, opened last Friday. Synopsis below. If you're interested, please send your station hotline and backup number as well. Please give us numerous ways to contact you. For the love of God, let us call. As well as your preferred times. See, normally that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's never how that works.
With the Snakes on a Plane director, it wasn't our preferred times. It was, he's available at 7 a.m. to 7:15. You must work within this 5-minute limit. Now with Dane Cook, they're asking for numerous numbers and asking our preferred times on either Thursday or Friday.
Let's do it.
Screw that. I'm not talking today. I'll have him on if you interview him.
No.
I don't care. I have less than no interest in talking to Dane Cook. I will have Dane Cook on the show if someone else volunteers to pretend to be me.
Nate could do it.
Nate? No, he has to pretend to be me.
Yeah.
All right.
He knows a lot about Dane Cook.
Nate, your boyfriend, Nate?
Yeah.
All right, Nate or perhaps another listener. I will set this aside right here. This Dane Cook interview opportunity, I will set that aside. If someone is willing to pretend to be me for the purpose of this interview, so that way I get the credit without having to do any of the work and without having to actually pretend like I care about Dane Cook, because I do not. Then I will book this Dane Cook interview for Thursday. You got to let me know by the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do one more with Tim Riley. Then, top five.
No. Time for Grave Watch.
Oh, good. I love the Grave Watch. I'm digging up home. Randy Travis, kids. Digging up home. Your remains, that's better left alone.
A high school teacher faces a felony charge after allegedly sneaking into a cemetery vault with two students and taking photos of them handling a corpse's bones.
Fantastic.
It's not anything you would call school-related, said Dennis Lee, the Commonwealth attorney for Tazewell County, where authorities said the incident is just bizarre. Kansas Longworth, who's 31, has been suspended from her job as a biology teacher at Rocky Gap High School in Bland, according to a principal.
In Bland?
Bland, yes. She's been charged with disturbing and defiling a dead person from a place of burial. The teenagers have also been charged as juveniles. Police said investigators learned of Longworth's alleged role in the September 9th entry of a vault in a historic cemetery in the town of Pocahontas. When at least one of the two teenage girls began showing pictures of themselves inside the vault holding bones.
They took photos of themselves.
They did. Lee said the trip to the vault had nothing to do with the occult or Halloween, but declined to elaborate further, saying it sort of boggles the mind as to why somebody would be involved in this.
A, I'd love to live in a town called Bland. B, I'd love to be charged with defiling at some point, just like I'd like to be charged with menacing. Or felony reaching. You can also be called, you can be charged with felony reaching, I understand. If you have a gun and you are threatening somebody by gesturing towards the gun as though you're going to use it. And three, all I ever, man, I never get the cool teachers. All I ever did is go to a goddamn apple orchard where I saw them press cider every stupid goddamn year. All right, there you go. There's your grave watch for whatever the hell day this is.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. But I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet I'm now sitting alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've asked for it, you've demanded it, we have reinstituted it. After a long absence, will you please make way for the top five?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count,
don't you? Ladies and gentlemen, here is your top five for Tuesday with Tim Riley.
And it was on this week 26 years ago that a loud, screaming, fashionably attired baby was first thrust upon planet Earth. And while Sarah Dillon might not remember many of our sacred cultural benchmarks, we celebrate them anyway. Beginning with these, the top five songs of the week of Sarah Dillon's birth, the week of October 9th, 1980. Honorable mention at number 6, Paul Dillon, late... Oh, Paul Simon, I'm sorry. Late in the evening.
You can already tell this is in the... This is pre-Graceland, but you can already tell how he was leaning right here.
First thing I remember, I was lying in my bed. Couldn't have been no more than one or two.
All the Paul Simon songs from this era make me feel edgy.
Yeah, I don't like this.
This is like when we saw him on the one or whatever that tour he did a couple years ago before he reunited with Art Garfunkel. It's like him and 500 guys each playing a marimba on stage. It's like a whole bunch of variations on guys playing the triangle. And it's just the music is all twitchy. Makes me feel all wigged out. And this is why a reunion had to happen, by the way. No one can listen to this for anything. Cecilia was a good idea once. Move on. All right, these are the top five songs in the week of Sarah Dillon's birth.
Number 5, George Benson's "Give Me the Night."
Yeah. This guy, I heard this guy at 105.9 Smooth Jazz this morning, which was inexplicably on one of our presets. We were cycling through the presets this morning trying to find something. We landed on the Smooth Jazz station. The creepy thing about a song like this, being...
I've never heard either of these songs.
Yeah, well. The thing is, number 5, October 9th, 1980... Which means that it was probably on its way downward, because I think it was a big hit. It's probably on it trending its way down the charts. So this may have actually been riding high on the charts when you were conceived, Sarah Dillon.
Lucky me.
Listen, you can almost picture it, can't you? Let's picture it now.
Rick, you do this to me all the time.
I do this every year.
I know you do.
Come on. Little few candles, a little incense.
Okay.
Thick shag carpeting. I got a brand new Bronco out front. Red. Here's Tim Riley.
Number 4, Eddie Rabbit, "Driving My Life Away."
Yeah. I can't even tell you how many times I play this as a country jock. You know this song, don't you?
Yes.
Everybody knows this.
God, it is hot in here.
You know, the heat pump is broken. See? The temperature's actually, I think it's going down. It was 82 when I checked.
Really?
The heat pump was stuck on. They're trying to fix it. No. Eddie Rabbit, he's dead. Totally dead. Long time dead. What was the other song he had? He had Driving My Life Away and... God, what else did he have? He had some other hit.
Love a Rainy Night.
Love a Rainy Night, yes.
I know that song.
He also had a really bad cover of The Wanderer by Dion and the Belmonts. Yeah, I used to have to play this at Country Gold, Y106, all the time. God, this is such a huge hit. You could not get away from this when this came out for years afterward. They played this like every 10 minutes. Counting down the top five songs of the week, Sarah Dillon was born. Jim Riley.
Number three, Diana Ross with Upside Down.
Yeah. Still trying to shake off the remnants of disco. Counting down the top five songs when Sarah Dillon was born the week of October 9th, 1980.
Number two, Air Supply, All Out of Love.
I love this song.
Oh, I love this song.
It's a great song.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right. Believing for so long.
I mistakenly sang this at karaoke one night.
It's not mistakenly.
No, it's so slow. When you get up on stage, you realize how slow it is.
Well, you got to sell it. If you're going to sing a slow song at karaoke, like Clyde and I saw this girl sing Crazy by Patsy Cline at Dante's, and that's a song that plods along. Crazy. You know, it's like 15 beats a minute. But she really had charisma. She sold it. You really got to be prepared to throw your everything into this. I love this song. These guys have got a standing gig in Vegas, too, at the Rio, I think. Someplace. I do not believe this is a Jim Steinman song, but it's good nonetheless. Somebody ought to cover this. I remember listening to this song in high school, like getting dumped by some girl, sitting alone in my shag carpeted bedroom, and thinking to myself, I remember, here's how lame I was, I remember writing the lyrics to this song on like my peachy folder. I'm all out of love, I'm so lost without you, thinking that would make me look badass. Yeah, I saw those Air Supply lyrics written on your Trapper Keeper. It's really deep, dude, I feel you. The top five songs in the week of Sarah Dillon's birth, Tim Riley.
Number one, Queen. Another one, Bites the Dust.
Yeah! Ooh! All right. Best song ever. All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. Coming up around the corner, Dennis Pitchenbarger is going to be here. Jim Roop will revisit the Ministry of Truth next hour. And we will continue to take more of these calls about the top 10 women who should never be seen in a Hollywood love scene. Stay there. At stake, we got a pair of passes to see the Star Wars on the exhibit and a copy of Return of the Jedi on DVD. Don't go anywhere. You stay there.